Hi there. If you're listening to the Whole Home Podcast, you are most welcome. Thank you for pressing play. I am back with Lisa Bynum. If you haven't heard our first episode yet, please pause this one and go back to it. You won't want to miss it, especially if you are about to listen to this episode about her current garden. As I share on that one, I'm recording Lisa in a special way because she is one of the older women in our church family. I want to ask her some extra questions to dig into her past a little more than I have with other ladies. So, all right, Lisa, let's go back to the past. Now I want to talk parenting with you as a matter of cultural interest.
Fun.
What about parenting in the, would it be 80s and 90s, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, I had Lindsay in 1990, so it would be the 90s for sure. And then Ethan was born in 1992.
So there is no way parenting was the same then that it is now, right? I mean, got to be totally different.
Yeah, maybe. I feel like the kids parent their kids different than I parented them,
mm-hmm.
which is probably a good thing. We're definitely spankers.
Which was normal, right?
Yeah.
No one was really like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, even I remember, at least when I was young, the principal of your school could spank you.
Oh, yeah. We had a teacher that had a paddle with holes bored in it.
Okay.
Because it would hurt a little bit worse.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have to have permission. You just got spanked. One of the teachers, that same teacher, if you got caught talking in his classroom, would pick up an eraser, and he was a good shot, and you got beamed upside the head with it.
And no one could say anything.
Not a word.
Mm-hmm.
We also prayed in school every once in a while, depending on the teacher. So
that would be different as well.
What else? We did a lot of time out. It depended. Ethan ended up spending a little more time in his room because he would prefer a spanking.
Oh.
So, I mean, like he would ask me, can you just spank me? Because he just didn't want to be like that was obviously being in your room is a great punishment for you. Why would I stop?
Right.
You know, it seemed like Lindsay didn't get into trouble that much. She did have her moments.
I'm even thinking about sometimes when I look at even from the time that I had my youngest is 10. And I'm like, what are all of these things that people are using these days to have a baby or just to tote their baby around? It's
oh, the stuff amazing. They have for babies now is so much stuff.
Yeah.
We never wore our babies, which is genius. And all the gadgets and stuff that you have to have for babies, you know, burp-free bottles and all this stuff. Nope. You got a glass bottle with a rubber nipple and you're good to go.
Was it taboo? I guess co-sleeping would not have been a thing, or was it?
No, I don't think it was.
Yeah, even the process of having the baby in the hospital, can you think of any differences there?
When I had my kids, definitely had them in the hospital. I had epidural both times. Now, when I worked in the answering service, we did answer the phone for a midwife office, which it's like, wow, people have their babies at home. But that was definitely not like a popular thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had my kids at the hospital.
And was it a whole thing where did you stay like 3 days like you do now or?
No, they were going through a phase where 24 hours.
Yeah. And I feel like at least, again, from when I had kids, you're checked on, I feel like, every hour.
Yeah,
like
so I got 24 hours in the hospital with each of my kids, and then my doctor said, that's stupid. I know the hospital's sending you home, but he sent a home health nurse out to my house the next day.
Oh.
So I got a well check the next day for me and the baby from the nurse, which was kind of nice.
Yeah.
But like ultrasounds, everybody's like having ultrasounds all mm-hmm. over the place. They were new. So you got one ultrasound unless there's something wrong. And you only wanted one because if they wanted you to get another one, then you're like, something's wrong. So, yeah, there's no pictures of the babies.
Is there something you see moms having now? I guess you said the carrier, but you're like, oh, I wish I had that.
That would have been very handy
because mm-hmm.
you could do the dishes and hold the baby at the same time.
So what did you do? How did you get through it, Lisa?
I think I put him in a swing.
Okay, yeah, swing.
Well, and an actual, not the little thing that wiggles around like they have today, but like an actual metal swing that went back and forth. And that's how I'd keep them entertained. And
yeah,
I worked when my kids were young. So I wasn't with them all day long, unfortunately. I didn't decide that being home was a good thing till later.
I think when I had, I guess even Oliver, I think swings were phasing out. But I do not know what I would have done without a swing.
Yeah, they're very handy.
Right. Do you remember any of these things? Maybe it wouldn't have been too much a difference for you, but just out of curiosity, has prices changed a lot in the stores when you were parenting?
Yeah. I mean, gas was less than 99 cents a gallon. Everything's got just in the last few months, let alone when I was a kid. You could get bread for less than $1.50 probably. They went through a great phase when I was like high school. It must have been high school where they had generic products.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, it was just a white box that said bread or cheese.
Really?
I mean, that's all it said on it. Like, that was generic. And yeah, it was cheaper as opposed to, like, you know, branded, you know, Aldi brand, you know, generic things.
And now you feel good about buying generic stuff, not necessarily like it's a shameful thing.
Yeah.
Whereas I think when I was younger, I think it was still kind of a shameful thing. But now I'm like, who cares? Woo.
This is just as good.
Yeah, just as good. So what were some common dinners that you cooked for your family?
Even though I worked, I usually still cooked. I don't like prepackaged food, typically. So we would probably eat like hamburgers, spaghetti, meatloaf, pot roast, depending. On a weeknight, it was probably something more simple like, you know, vegetables and bread and meat, something like that. There's a period of time when Tim was working midnight. He worked crazy shifts in the military, so sometimes he would work till midnight, and then sometimes he worked midnight to morning shifts. And I worked all day long. And there are a couple occasions when I can remember coming home from work and pick up the kids and having a migraine and them eating peanut butter Captain Crunch and vanilla ice cream for dinner.
I wonder if they remember.
They do. They so do.
I did not know you were going to say that. Hey, you were the first person that made me or introduced me to chicken and dumplings. I have never had it before.
I grew up on chicken and noodles, which is almost the same, but they're longer.
Yeah, I feel like there was noodles. Do people call that dumplings? I don't know.
So the chicken and dumplings is more southern. They're flat and bigger and, you know, more square. But yeah, it's... I think it's like an Amish thing. It's a Midwest thing. And Emily, Ethan's wife, she was raised in Indiana, and her parents serve a similar dish.
Okay. Well, I don't even know if I've had it since, like, having you have it.
Well, I need to make you some.
I can't even think of where I would have, unless I've forgotten. I think you're the only person. And then you can get it at Cracker Barrel, right? Is yours similar
to Cracker Barrel? No, they're different.
Okay. So maybe
I mean, I've made dumplings like that before, but I typically make noodles.
What about design trends when you were parenting? Because there were definitely some fun phases in the 90s, right?
Oh, design, like designs for...
Yeah, how did you design your kitchen or decorate your house or anything that you're like, oh, I gotta have that?
So I don't know where I came up with this because now I think about it and I cringe.
Oh, what?
But one of the walls in my kitchen was painted, like, I swear it was Pepto-Bismol pink.
Oh, man. No way. Are you serious?
Yes. Hold on. No, I'm not done yet. And then I had taken like a plastic bag and dipped it in paint.
Okay.
And put like four screen on top of it. Mm. So you had four screen with the pink showing through.
Yeah.
I cringed, but that's what I did.
Wow. Well, it must have been cool because you're.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that's the one thing that really sticks out. So I don't know what I was thinking about that house, but it was.
I feel like
that was the first house we bought, because before that we lived in military housing and we didn't do a whole lot to that.
There were like, I feel like drapes in that era a lot, like window treatments was a thing.
Oh, yeah. We had drapes on like our sliding glass doors that went outside.
Did you ever get into like the pastels? Wasn't that a thing back then?
I don't know if I did in my room. Lindsay's room was definitely painted lavender. And then it had like a ribbon stencil thing all the way around the middle of the room with darker purple.
That you guys did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's fun. Hey, did you ever get your big kitchen?
Did I ever get my kitchen now is bigger in the basement of a house. So,
yeah.
Tim put our kitchen in the house we live in now. It was just basically an open room with a bedroom and a bathroom and then like another room that could be a bedroom or whatever. It's an office right now. And so he put our kitchen in.
He's so handy. Goodness.
You can't be handsome. You might as well be handy. You don't even know what that's from, do you? See,
no.
This is how old I am. That was Green. What's his first name? It was an old TV
Al
show.
Al Green? I don't know.
No, it's
He's not a singer.
I'll think of it later.
Okay, so were you still eating at Burger King and McDonald's with your kids? Where would you go out
on occasion, but we ate at home a lot. Pizza every once in a while.
So it was a big deal to go out.
Yeah. Until they, like, when they got in high school and stuff, it was a little more, maybe a little bit more common.
Did y'all ever do, like, a diner or a buffet or, like, that special fun family spot?
Oh, I don't remember. There's been a lot of restaurants since then.
Yeah. All right, Lisa, I'm going to ask you now the questions I ask everybody.
Who?
Are you familiar with these?
I've heard them, but I don't remember them.
Okay. Well, now it's your turn. So 5 minutes, turn in the timer. First question, do you sketch or birdwatch?
Sometimes I doodle.
Yeah. What do you doodle?
Smiley faces, hearts, flowers, just...
outside the lines.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to learn to... and every once in a while, I'll draw stuff for the kids to color and stuff, but I don't draw too much.
Do you have a hero?
A hero.
Or someone that you admire? You're like, I want to be like that person.
I know you're going to be tired of hearing it, but my grandma was always my hero.
Mm. Do you listen to any podcasts?
Occasionally. I kind of feel like I'm eavesdropping on somebody's conversation when I listen to podcasts. So I listen to yours sometimes. Sometimes, I mean, I always listen to the church one. So I force myself to listen to that one. So not too often.
So if you turn one on, would it be like women focused or history focused or news focused?
I don't know. Maybe just Christian focused.
Christian. Okay. What is your go-to breakfast?
Nothing. I mean, I usually get up in the morning and go to the pool. So
wait, what?
Yeah, I know. Okay. I force myself to get up and go to the Y in the morning and go to aerobics class.
Look at you. Yeah, you don't want a full stomach.
Yeah,
in the
no. So either if I don't go anywhere and do something afterwards, I'll come home and eat something, which like toast or cereal or something easy.
Do you play an instrument?
No.
Do you want to?
I've always wanted to play the piano, and I tried to learn, and I couldn't get... once you started adding two hands, I got all confused, and I gave up.
Chopsticks for you. Or is that two hands? I can't remember. What's the last thing
you... two fingers.
Two fingers. What's the last thing you watched on TV?
Hell's Kitchen.
Do you make your bed every day?
Semi. Okay. I take the cover and I pull it back over the bed so the cats don't get hair between my sheets.
There you go.
That's as good as it gets.
Have you ever received an award or trophy?
I used to receive math rewards all the time in grade school.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't think anything else.
Is there anything people sometimes misunderstand about you?
I don't know.
Do you collect anything?
I used to collect whales.
Okay.
I don't anymore. It's weird. It started because one of the guys in high school used to call me Beluga because he thought I was fat. And so I kind of collect magnets. It seems like I started buying them whenever we're traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So I must collect magnets because like my refrigerator has magnets from all these different countries on it. So I must collect magnets.
What is the last skill you learned?
I learned how to actually properly shape my sourdough bread recently.
Ooh, nice. Who taught you?
One of the ladies at CBS gave me a hint because I was saying, I've been making like sandwich bread, just sourdough sandwich bread. I was like, well, Tim likes crusty bread. I always fail at shaping it. It just never turns out right. And she's like, oh, this is what you got to do. And I'm like, and it's beautiful.
Wow. Hey, this is weird, but oh well. What's your favorite smell?
Baking bread. Baking cookies.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
My mind wouldn't have thought of that, but that's a good one.
It's a really good smell.
Do you have a favorite board game?
We used to play Scrabble or Backgammon. We used to play Backgammon every once in a while.
That's a fun one.
I don't like the, like, Ben's all into the ones with the strategy and all that stuff. That's work.
Who has time?
That's not fun. That's work.
All right, Lisa, are you still singing Barbra Streisand? What would you sing in karaoke?
I refuse to sing karaoke because I'm afraid to sing in front of people by myself. But I always tease him and tell him there's only one song in the universe I would sing with him for karaoke, and it is...
what?
Tequila.
Oh, yeah. You kind of speak that one, right? Your husband has no problem singing karaoke.
Oh, he does not. He does not. But I could do a good tequila.
So the truth is, our families have shared many a karaoke eve. I guess you're just always the audience, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Are you going on a vacation this year?
Probably, but just I think we're probably going to keep it stateside. We're planning our next big vacation for 2026.
That would be your anniversary?
Well, we'll have our 40th anniversary in December of 2025. So Tim's like, we'll just call it our anniversary trip. But we got to space them out when they cost so much.
Yeah, makes sense.
So we're going to go to New Zealand.
Woo.
And Iceland. I mean, not Iceland, New Zealand and Australia.
Australia.
Yeah, we're going to start in Australia. We're going to take a cruise and go.
You're a wild woman. What is something in your life more challenging than you expected?
Sometimes being retired.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes there's a lot of different demands on my time and I have to figure it out and still take care of my house, which is the hard part. I can do all these things, but I still have to take care of my home.
If you had 10 times your budget, what would you spend it on?
I don't know. I would say I'd travel more, but I would probably also just like give money to people that I know need it. Because
why not?
Why not?
What is your exact favorite spot in your home?
My couch. I mean, we don't have a super big home anymore, so.
Hey, do you have the kind that you press the button and the thing goes up?
Yes.
Yeah, yep.
Yes, I put my feet up and I got my lamp there and I sit there and I crochet, or sometimes I'll do hand sewing and I just.
Yeah, it's a good one. Do you and Tim, I mean, do you have any traditions you observe, any special things?
Shoot, we're not super traditionally, except for, you know, like around holidays.
Mm-hmm. What's something you invite the grandkids to do? I always do this with them.
Oh, well, let's see. We either do crafts, paint or draw or do some kind of craft. I've been teaching Delaney how to sew and crochet. Mm-hmm. I just taught her how to do a granny square.
Oh, which cute.
I had to look up because I haven't done a granny square in like 30 years.
Wow.
So, I mean, I kind of had the concept. I knew basically how to do it, but I had to like, I got to look at this up so I can actually tell you how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Tegan doesn't want to learn?
She does. I'm going to teach her how to needlepoint. She's still 2 years younger, so she's still six, yeah, turning seven. So some of that handier stuff is a little bit hard for her. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she does want to learn. So I've been teaching her slowly some things.
Yeah. If you were going to write a book, Lisa, what would it be about?
I don't know. Crafting or something? I don't know. I'm not much of a writer.
I could see you do that. I could see you, like, these are home projects or...
Writing was my least favorite thing about school.
What's your favorite cookie?
What my kids call killer cookies.
Ooh, I don't know.
So they're peanut butter oatmeal chocolate chip.
Peanut butter oatmeal chocolate chip.
And they call them they call them killer cookies because when Lindsay and Ben were dating, Lindsay took some back to school to Ben, and Ben's sweet mate ate them, and he was allergic to peanut butter and ended up in the emergency room.
Oh my gosh. Oops.
Well, I mean, he should know, you know?
Yeah.
You should know what peanut butter smells like, dude.
What's your middle name?
Marie.
What is your favorite chore?
Cooking.
And what is a place in Scripture encouraging to you?
I think one of my favorites, I think it's John 3, I think it's 20, not 16, 3:20, where it says, where John the Baptist says, he must become more and I must become less. And I think that's what our journey in life is about, is Jesus becoming more in us and us becoming less and less and less.
All right, dinging you. We're not done with the episode. Hang in here with me. Freezing down here. I guess we didn't go through this. What neighborhood do you live in and how long have you been there?
We live, I don't know what the neighborhood's called. We live on the edge of Goochland across from the Richmond Country Club. Okay. It's like on the corner of River and Six, where that intersection comes together. And we've been there for 5 years now.
And you live with someone special who is in your household.
Yeah, so after my mom passed away, Tim had been talking to Lindsay for a while about buying a house together. And so after, we knew we couldn't do that with mom still living with us. So once she passed away, they found a house. They started looking at houses casually. And I didn't even see this one until we bought it.
What?
Because they're trying to buy a house. I mean, I had looked at a couple of them, and Ethan was getting married. And so when they went to go see this house, I had a tasting for Ethan's reception. And it's like, sorry, I can't go. So, I mean, they knew what I required. I required windows and a walkout. I didn't want to live like in a, I couldn't live in here all the time. You know what I mean? With no windows. And so, yeah, he bought the house without me. And it was the basement. Already had a bathroom, a bedroom, and two bedrooms. And then one room that kind of melded together and that was fully carpet. So we took the carpet out of one half and built out a kitchen for us. So I have a laundry. I mean, it's almost the same square footage as our house on Carter Street, believe it or not.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
It's just set up different.
Yeah. Do you know anyone that lives with their kids like you do?
I know someone. One of my friends from Northern Virginia moved to Florida, and they built a house with their kids, and they live in their house. But no.
Yeah, it's so rare. It's cool that y'all do it. Just to recap, you mentioned it last episode. How long have you been coming to Remnant, and who invited you?
So I think it's been 13 years.
Yeah.
And we just found you guys on the internet. We just showed up.
Whose community group are you in?
I'm in the Georges. We started out your community group, though, and it was the first week that you started your community group.
Oh, man. Yeah, we go way back.
Yeah, because Ryan's like, we're starting a community group this week. You're coming. Okay.
I can't imagine it any other way. All right, now we get to talk about your garden. We always start with the planning because that's what you've got to do when you have a garden. So are there any desires and dreams that you have, Lisa?
As I said, we're always planning our next vacation. I think the current thing on our mind is finishing well.
Okay.
That's what it's fun, because I know the pastors have talked about finishing well. Tim's 59. He'll retire, and he'll probably retire at 65. I can't see him working farther than that. I'm just thinking about what we want to do in retirement. How can we still be of use to the kingdom?
Yeah.
And not just like retire and sit around the house all day long.
Yeah.
Because that's definitely not good for us or anybody else.
He's not going to retire too soon, though, right?
No, it's going to be like 6 years.
6 years.
He's already working part-time. He decided
that's a change.
He decided that he didn't have to make as much money as he needs to because he worked part-time and to afford him more time off. So I think he's still struggling with finding good things to do with his time. Mm-hmm. So he works 3.5 days a week. More, some of it's going to be like he's going to be off in February for a week, and I think he's going to go visit his family again, which we were just there in December. So he's going to go visit his parents again, and I think he plans on doing that more frequently.
How many siblings does he have?
He has 3 sisters, and they're all older than him.
His parents are in Texas, right?
Yes, they're in Waco. Yeah. So his parents are in Waco. His sisters in Waco. He has 2 sisters in Waco, and his other sister lives in Colorado.
So are you counting down the days, or do you feel pretty content with, yeah, we've got 6 years?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't work.
Yeah.
After my mom passed away, Tim's like, you don't need to go back to work. Why? Don't bother. So I didn't bother.
You said Tim's 59?
Uh-huh.
Do you guys now, are you at the point where you kind of look at your life in decades? Is that something you do?
In decades? Oh, I don't know.
Like in my 50s, blah, blah, blah. In my 60s, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't see it that way?
I think we kind of always look at our life on like location since we've had enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably going to have to stop doing that because we're kind of stationary now.
Yeah. This time you really are anchored because have you counted how many times you've moved?
We've been in Richmond longer than we've been anywhere.
But you did move a lot
before
then.
Yeah.
Something that else that you mentioned as you were preparing was maybe thinking about combining your love of travel with service.
Yeah. So we like to travel. And there's not a whole reason why we shouldn't make ourselves useful to the kingdom and travel. I don't know what that would look like yet because there's a fine line between like even visiting like missionaries or something. There's like a fine line between being helpful and being a burden. Because you know how you have company, you feel like you have to entertain them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a fine line there and about traveling and visiting people and stuff. So just something to think about.
Yeah. Well, I feel like most people that think about traveling wouldn't even think about combining it with service in any way. So, I mean, that is interesting. I mean, just because something's always been done one way, like I can think of like a typical missionary trip, I guess, in my mind, it doesn't mean that that's the way, the pattern that it must be done and service must be done this way. Like, who knows what it could be? Like, I don't know, it just occurred to me even right now, someday, the Lord willing, like Maker Institute will launch over in Poland. And what would it be like? Like, I even asked my mom, will you come from Missouri and help us cook when we have fellows here, because that's a way to help. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, you never know what just the things that are so natural to you, you're like, oh, that's actually serving people, but that's so natural to me. Like,
right.
But it actually means something to somebody, you know, who knows? And you and Tim are so helpful, so smart. You guys are so handy. You're always fixing stuff. Like, I feel like I used to call you all the time. Please help. I don't know. Who knows? As you guys pray, God will show you.
Yeah. So that's what we're hoping.
Is Tim more of the planner? Is he kind of thinking ahead on this? Are you guys just kind of free spirit? See what God has.
I think it goes back and forth. He's the one that planned the move into the house with the kids. And I think that's his retirement plan, for us to always live in a space with one of the children so that they can take care of us one day.
Yeah, that's super, super wise. Well, as someone who has virtually no travel ambition, what do you love about that? Was me. I'm speaking about me. What do you love about traveling?
Well, you know, we just really like seeing other places. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big world that God made, and we rarely go back to someplace more than once anymore, because it's like, I only have so much travel money. I might as well see someplace I've never seen before, mm-hmm. which is very interesting. I don't know. It's just fun.
Is there any trip that's really stood out to you?
We went to a 17-day cruise to Europe as soon as they opened up after COVID.
Okay, yeah. Was that a good decision?
It was fine. I mean, we had to wear a mask on the ship half the time, which was kind of a pain. And some of the restaurants in Europe, you had to wear, you know, some of the places you had to wear a mask. We made it into a 3-week trip, which was way too long. And we're out to sea for 9 days straight because they canceled two of our stops and there was a storm we had to go around. So,
oh man,
we were 9 days at sea is too much.
But you still loved it because that's what you picked.
Well, because I'd never been to Europe before.
Okay.
We'd always gone to the Caribbean or Latin America. So I've been to like all the countries in Central America. We've been to a lot of the Caribbean, which is all the same. So we'd never been to Europe before. And so we got to go. And I mean, if you're in America, everything's, you know, what, 500 years old or whatever it is. In Europe, you know, you're standing in the Parthenon in Rome, which is, you know, and standing on the ruins in Rome that have been there for centuries.
It's hard to wrap your mind around.
Yeah, it's just kind of amazing how things change. And so that was fun.
You also mentioned to me that you have another grandbaby coming.
We do. Ethan and Emily are having baby number 3, and I'm hoping they've told everybody by now.
Oh. Well, this won't come out for a few weeks, so.
Yeah, well, I got in trouble. I told the in-laws when we were in Texas last time, and they're like, well, we wanted to tell them. Like,
oh, no.
Oops. I'm so sorry, but it just came up in conversation. Mm-hmm. It just, yeah, so hopefully I'm not spilling any beans, but yeah, they're having baby number 3. It's due in July.
How many grandbabies is that for you?
This will make 7.
Awesome. What do you love about being a grandma?
It's just fun. I could do things with them. I only have to discipline them for a certain amount of time. I'm not totally responsible. Mom and dad are responsible for them. My grandkids are just fun. They have sweet little personalities and they all like something different and you do different things. And
I think that's all you put down here. Okay, so we get to move to sewing. These are things that are new for you or at the beginning stages. I wrote down for you prayer.
Oh, in my sewing section?
Yes, in your sewing section, that it's kind of a newer endeavor. It's a seed of faith for you.
Care to talk
about that?
So I don't know. I was never raised in a way that like where you would pray in front of other people. Mm-hmm. And even like as an adult, the churches we went to, women weren't encouraged to pray. The men were the leaders of the church. The men prayed in front. Women events were usually, because I was, you know, were run by like pastors' wives or whatever, or people they hired from downtown, so they did all the, so I'm not used to praying in front of people, and it just trips me up sometimes. I just, you know, feel like I stumble over my words, and I'm concerned about what I'm saying and how whatever people thinking. And finally one day, and I wasn't going to do it until I was actually felt like I was praying, talking to God and not praying for other people. And I just finally came to the conclusion that I just needed to be obedient no matter how I felt about it, and then pray that whatever would glorify God anyway. So and I'm working on it.
Okay. So your view of prayer, though, has changed, though, over the years, right? Instead of someone else kind of dictating what it is to you, you actually said, this is what the Bible says. Because obviously it was a command that you felt like you had to respond to.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's okay. I mean, just pray one with another. And there's occasions where I felt like, oh, you know what? There's someone's talking about something that's going on in their life. It's like I felt like I should have prayed for them right then, and I just didn't because I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
So I'm trying harder to be open to those proddings and just like, you know, this person needs prayed for. Let's pray for them right now.
Mm-hmm. Is there any person that's encouraged you in this or that maybe you've seen them model it?
I don't know if you remember this. You might. This was a long time ago, Laura. There's something going on in my extended family. Mm-hmm. And you invited me over and you're like, well, let's pray about it. And I looked at you like, I don't know how to do that. Do you remember that?
It's a little bit now.
Yeah. And I'm like,
I think so.
I'm like, how do you do that? Like, I just don't know how to pray in front of somebody else. So, yeah.
Praise the Lord. I mean, so this would be that's a perfect example of a seed of faith that you got to plant the seed at some point. And you even mentioned obedience. Like, there's a point where you just got to say, okay, the seed is getting pushed. I don't know how long it's going to take to grow.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm going to start it, you know, in faith. And
yeah,
that's beautiful. That's really cool. You also mentioned here that just having aging parents yourself, or not yourself, but Tim now.
Yeah.
Because your parents have passed.
Yes.
And now his parents are kind of needing care, right? Mm-hmm. Is that something that now you're feeling more of a burden to do?
Yeah, Tim's mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Okay.
This past fall. And I hadn't been to visit them for a year and didn't realize it just seems how quickly.
Wow.
Yeah, she looks pretty, I mean, she does have kind of a vague look on her face a lot. She's more clear in the mornings, like what's going on, but she has a hard time tracking conversations and remembering, you know, what's up. They were both recently sick on and off with UTIs, which makes all that stuff worse.
Oh, man.
And just feeling like they needed more attention and more care. And Tim's sisters live in the same town, but they're out across town, so if something would happen, like his dad fell on, this was a while back, but his dad fell down in the bathroom in the middle of the night one night.
Oh, no.
And his mom just got a blanket and laid down for him. They slept on the floor because she couldn't get him up. Mm-hmm. And then she called somebody in the morning to, you know, come help him up. So we were visiting in December, and there's a duplex next to his sister, so they actually agreed to move in. So they live right next to our sister now.
Yeah.
And so she checks on him every day, and she's able to give them more care.
Okay.
And so with that comes plans Tim to visit them more often.
Do you have any wisdom to share here, caring for aging parents?
It's so hard. And I think the biggest struggle, and I know I have with mom and sometimes with them, is you want to tell them what's best for them, and you want them to do what's best for them. But it's hard to remember they're still adults, and they get to choose whether it's best for them or what they think, and it might not be the best thing for them, but they still get to choose what they do. And you just gotta like support them the best way you can in their choice and keep encouraging them to change things when if necessary. Yeah. Which is hard because they want, like his parents are like, we just want our independence.
Is that something you had to learn over time to just kind of let things go a little bit?
Yeah, it's hard because especially if you know they're doing something and you see that they're going to fail.
Yeah. And you're far away too.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes sense that kind of a decision would move to be in your mind, well, I'll just be around them more. Just
yeah. It helps him to like see his parents. And I think it helps his sister too, to have somebody, his sisters to come and check on them to see how they're doing. Cause it is a lot of work and it is, can be a burden.
That's all you put here. Unless anything else pops up in your mind, anything new you're doing? Anything wild? Are you starting to ride a motorcycle? What? Anything like that?
No, I've never ridden a motorcycle by myself. I have ridden on one, but not by myself.
Wait, Tim's had one, right?
He had one for a little while when we moved back to the States because he had one in the Dominican and he needed something and somebody wanted to trade a motorcycle for it. So he gave the guy whatever we're getting rid of and he took the motorcycle. I think he rode it like twice.
Oh, really? That's funny. All right, so watering time. These are active, more active things in your life that you're stewarding, but you kind of took the spin on it.
Did I spin?
The spin on it that God is watering you.
Ah.
And I liked that. And Becky did the same thing. And she was seeing it more as like care that God is showing you and almost like nourishment. And so you had mentioned first that God has been watering relationships with women your age.
Yeah. I've always had very casual friendships. And a lot of those were with a lot of churches we went to had like they had classes for young marrieds or they had classes for young parents. And because of when we got married, we really didn't fit into any of those categories. So if we went to the young married class or in the young parents, most of our friends were like older than we were because they got married older. And so they were a good 5-10 years older than we were. So we had friends that were like college age or, you know, younger kid, you know.
Ryan and I.
I mean, you guys, I don't know, you're not that much younger than we are. How old are you
guys? Ryan. Ryan's not, I suppose, but.
He's probably 10 years younger than we are, at least.
Yeah, I could easily be your daughter. Not Ryan, though. That'd be weird.
So, and then they're just casual. You know, you see them at church and stuff, and so in church functions. And so now we have some ladies at church that are older. I think most of us are 50 and over. Lindsay used to refer to them as the grandmas, but we're not all grandmas, and some of us don't even have kids. So, but so we have, it started out as a book club. And so we'd get together every other week and discuss the book that we're reading.
Yeah.
It's growing, like our numbers are growing. And then stuff we were doing growing. Gabby introduced like a service project. So now we have some different service things that we do together. We started having parties with the men.
Whoa.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
But, and now I would feel comfortable. Sounds like if fun. I really needed something, calling somebody. Like I had lunch with Diana today, which I've had lunch with her a couple of times, and I'll have, you know, or have lunch with somebody else, which I would, you know, do. Or I'll say, hey, you guys want to have lunch, which is not, it just seems different to us. So it's nice to have
peers,
friends.
I guess.
And just, because I would feel totally comfortable calling them if I needed something or ask a question or something.
Do you feel like you almost have camaraderie in a way?
Yeah. Yeah, and some of us are in, you know, in different life stages, which is nice because then you could say, okay, well, how did you handle this? Or, right. You know, and we all have different life experiences. And so we usually talk about a book that's related to Jesus in some way, shape, or form. And so we all have, you know, things to say about how Jesus is, and it's good to see how God has changed us and done things in our lives and things that we're thinking now.
I wanted to pull on this thread. The specific way you typed it out to me was, I have always wanted a bestie, but never seemed to have one. And you said, I've learned it's not necessary, right?
And yes.
You talk a little bit about that, and then I want to ask you a question.
I don't know. I just always felt like, I know I remember as a teenager having jealousy of people's friendships and, you know, their friend, they would come out and hang out all the time and stuff like that. And I just really never had that friendship with, for some reason. I mean, I'd have friends that I would hang out with as groups or whatever, but just didn't, it never happened. I don't know why. And I think I felt some jealousy for that. And it's not something you have to have, I don't think. I mean, obviously my husband's my best friend, but I'm developing friendships, I think, without that pressure.
Yeah.
Of, I'm looking for my best. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That I don't have that pressure. We could just be friends.
Yeah, that is a lot of pressure now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
You're like, I better be the best. Am I the best for you? I don't know.
Yeah, we've had lunch. Now you're twice. Now you're my best friend.
Yeah.
You can't talk to anybody else, which I think I felt like when I was really young, that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
So I was just curious about that always wanted language, and that hadn't happened. But can you see, like sometimes God says no. Can you see God's wisdom in it? And now it seems like you're so far from that place of thinking that way, like you just kind of grown out of it.
And yeah, I don't think I had thought about it until you asked me that question. And I was talking about friends and I'm like, yeah, I do remember this time where that's really what I thought and felt. And maybe, I think he intends to be our bestie, you know? Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that.
That's okay. But clearly he's wise and he answered you in a way you didn't expect. And clearly you seem very happy and very thankful. And obviously love these women and feel loved by them.
Didn't leave me empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Something else you mentioned, unless you remember anything?
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to keep going then.
You go for it.
Okay. The next thing that you brought out was that God is watering your growing family. And I was just thinking about, what does it mean to you? Because I asked you in earlier, I guess it was last episode, how many people in your family mm-hmm. are Christians? And you said, but now you have generational faith yeah. coming from you. And
yeah.
That's got to be amazing.
It is amazing. So not only he's growing us in numbers, because mm-hmm. we have, you know, grandkids are still coming, and I don't know when they're going to stop, which is great. And I think, I think it's just growing faith in all my children and my grandchildren. Like, the girls have both been baptized, and I'm sure, you know, eventually the rest of the grandkids will. And just seeing them, you know, with their friends, and Lindsay and Ben are leaders in the community group. Ben just graduated from Grimke College, which is funny because he's, you know, got his master's degree in something else.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to, you know, wanting to grow his faith and grow, and seeing Ethan and Emily growing their faith and they're so very hospitable, and they're always having people into their home and serving people and welcoming them into their home. And so, yeah, it's just, it's very nice to, you know, have a family around that loves Jesus.
Yeah. Well, that could clearly go in your harvest section, but I like, again, the spin you took on in it of God is watering these things. And like you said, I think my family's still growing.
Yeah, I never know.
Do you ever stop and think about it? Like, God, how did this change with Tim and I? Like, you just really changed things?
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. All right. The last thing you put in here was you also have family to care for that's nearby. And that's been something that you've been doing longer than recently, right?
Yeah. Tim's aunt and uncle moved. It must be 5 years now. It was about the same time we moved houses, because I remember they stayed in the house right before we decided to move. And they live in Chester. She just bought a house in a 55-plus community that's a bit closer. His uncle is in assisted living. He's in memory care.
Mm.
He's not going to leave. And she's moving to a different house. And I would think if you asked her, she'd say she was Catholic. But, I mean, we're just trying to serve them and kind of show them Jesus. And I love his aunt. I mean, she's kind of a substitute, I think, mother for me. I think she feels like I'm kind of, she has two kids. She has one grandkid. The kids love her. They're always asking to go hang out with Aunt Kathy. She's like in her 70s, 75, I think. They're quite a bit younger than Tim's parents. But just helping her with stuff and, you know, through all the move, helping her find a house she wanted, and just being there for her, just being family for her, because they don't have family around here. Her daughter lives in Maryland, and her son lives in Florida.
Wow.
So.
You said that you've been doing a lot of growing recently. Is sharing your faith more openly something that's easy or hard to do with her?
Hard.
Hard, okay.
Because she clams up.
Yeah.
You know. We try to invite her to church. She's come to church a couple of times. I tried to get her to come to church Christmas Eve with us, and she did come to the girls' baptism because they invited her. They specifically said, "Hey, Kathy, you need to come to get baptized."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'll kind of casually mention, "Hey, you know, I'm praying for that," you know, and she just kind of changes the subject, kind of. I don't know.
So, do you see putting her in this category as like a stewardship or just something that you're more just constantly praying about?
I think praying about a lot, and maybe, I don't know, stewardship. I don't know. Just pray that God, you know, shows us how best to serve her.
Because she's not exactly at the end of her life, per se.
No, she's 75. Yeah. She drives. She drives up to Maryland to see her daughter sometimes. Mm-hmm. And she's very independent, but she's alone.
Yeah.
So
I think you're doing the best thing you can. It's just love.
I drug her to Salty Sisters pool party one day.
What's it with you and these pools? I never know what you're going to say. Oh, my goodness.
And they're talking about the book we're reading, what book we're going to read next. And we're reading Screwtape Letters.
Okay.
And she's like, what book is this and what is this about? And she's just like, you guys are weird.
So, want to join?
Yeah, see, so.
You never know, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Lisa, what in your life does not feel good right now but is good?
Well, this doesn't necessarily feel super good, but this is good.
You said this doesn't feel good?
Yeah, yeah.
Doing the podcast?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's not been nearly as bad as I thought it would.
Oh, all right. Can you say that a second time?
Yes. Not nearly as bad as I thought it would. Actually, I came to a conclusion that if I trust Jesus, then I trust the people he's given me. Mm. And so that I would trust you.
Oh, praise God. You know what? I literally wrote that down. I'm like, for all the things that you wrote in this section, which were a couple of things, and we'll get to them. But I said the only way, this is going to happen is trust.
Yeah.
And clearly, from other things that you've shared, just the way you've been in your life, clearly God has brought you to a place where obviously you trust him.
Yeah.
With your whole self, with your fears, and yeah.
It's just like, other people I don't trust sometimes.
Well, should you?
There are people God's given me that I should trust.
Trust the Lord with,
yeah, yeah,
with others.
Yeah,
you did it though. You're here. You said that even doing this maybe felt like a little bit of a pruning to you, and I was like, I wonder what she means by that. And I was thinking, do you think there's a way that maybe the long branches could be like metaphors for maybe shields you put out, arms you put out, like, no, I'm going to protect myself a little bit. And God's like,
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah. I guess pruning some of the fear away, pruning some of the shields.
I was like,
he's using the shears.
Deep
he's
metaphor, Lisa. Deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to feel what it feels like to feel the trust,
yeah.
You know, without creating a barrier to that. I was also thinking about how ultimately scripture says anyways that God leads us with cords of kindness. And I don't know if this part is in the Bible or not, but somebody said, don't despise the day of small beginnings. So, you know, just taking that step and just see what he does with it. Like, in my opinion, you're a natural. On
Thank
air,
you.
You're doing great. Shoot, you could run the show. You're such a blessing, and I'm glad that you're sharing all this with
Thank
me
you.
And everybody. So you also put prayer in this section too. Not only is, in my mind, it was a new thing you were doing, but there's a way. You said that prayer is a training for you.
It is, and I think sometimes I get hung up in my prayer life, thinking that I need to go to the dark room and pray for hours at a time.
Hmm.
And then I'm like, I don't know what to pray about. What am I going to pray about for 2 hours? And so you just don't do it. When, you know, as like the pastor say every Sunday, prayer is just talking to God. And so I don't have to talk to him 2 hours at a time. I don't have to like follow the form. Like I go to Bible study and they're like, well, we're going to pray. So we got to use the Acts format, you know. I was like, I don't have to use that format. I can just talk to God. Mm-hmm. And should those conversations include those things? By all means, I should always, you know, what is it?
Adore.
I should always,
confess.
You know, yeah, adore.
Confess,
thanks, and supplication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should always, you know, but I don't have to like get held up on trying to do all those things in one prayer. You know what I mean? If my friend is hurting and I see that, I'm okay to say, you know, God, please help them. I don't have to go through all the, you know, I got to go, don't have to go through the formula.
Right.
To ask God for what this person needs.
Well, I'm going to share something now. You shared a time that I prayed with you that impacted you. And in recent time, I reached out to you for help with something and you actually brought Diana Parsons with you. And I remember you said, out of the blue, you said, I think we should pray for this. And you started praying, and I think I was jolted and shocked.
I was too.
And I was like, is this happening? I went home and told Ryan, Lisa prayed for me. And like, that really impacted me a lot.
I stopped and I'm like, I just did that.
Yeah. in the middle of a coffee shop.
And
it really meant a lot to me, and who you prayed for, And you just jumped in. Praise the Lord. Look how he's growing.
If it could only always be like that, we'd be good.
So just to go back to the beginning thing, which was you're out here being transparent. Have you had some instances where you have been able to step out? You said you were kind of raised to keep things close to your chest and not share with people.
Yeah, you never told anybody what was going on in our household. Mm-hmm. That was just not, that was our business. You didn't tell anybody any of that craziness. Yeah, I think it's gotten easier. Like, I know when talking about books with the older ladies in our group and talking about different aspects of Christianity and struggles and stuff, it's easier to do when everybody is just being so natural mm-hmm. about it. You know what I mean? No pretenses. It's just like, hey, I read the scripture and I struggled with what this meant. So, yeah, I think that's just kind of encouraged me to be more open.
Does that come with time, do you think? As you're older, you're just like, I don't care. I don't know.
In some aspects, yeah. But I remember, like, I think the one thing I remember that might have started, like, in community group. I was in your community group when I found out that my dad had molested my niece. Mm. And yeah. I asked the community group to pray for it.
Yeah.
And without, like, trepidation, it's like, this is what's going on in my life and my family, and can you all pray for it? And nobody treated me like I was a black sheep or, ew, that's your family, how disgusting. Mm-hmm. They just prayed for me and loved on me, and life, you know, went on without it being like, you know, changing our relationship.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Another thing you put in here was just reading God's word more.
Yeah. I've been neglectful for quite a long time. And I still struggle with being consistent. Mm-hmm. But I've decided that that doesn't matter. I mean, it matters.
Right.
But it shouldn't keep me from doing it.
Right.
And so I go to a community Bible study. That's what it's called, community Bible study. And their books has it laid out for like a daily, this is your daily reading and some questions asked about like the scripture. Right now we're doing the book of Matthew. So I've been doing that for a couple of years. And that's just, it's helpful for me to have that accountability.
Right.
And then Tim and I have started reading, we started going through the Bible recap.
Okay, yeah.
And I said, sometimes we skip a day or whatever, but we've been doing it together and being more consistent in discussing the scriptures, because there's a couple of questions that kind of lead you to discuss. And so we're just kind of not neglecting that anymore. And it's so funny because it's like, you know how it is, sometimes you neglect, you're like, I don't want to do that right now. I don't want to do that right now. You don't want to do that right now. And then you sit down, it's like, oh, wow, I'm going to keep going because this is so interesting and mm-hmm. this is so good and I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah.
It's like, why did I hesitate to start with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I feel that even about recording the podcast. I'm like, this is so much work and I know it. Or, you know, does the lady even want to do this? Sometimes I feel back and forth and it's like, I have to just trust the Lord. And obviously you're here. If you didn't want to be here, you wouldn't want to be here or say so. And then as soon as I sit down with you, I'm like, shoot, we could talk till midnight. We're not going to, but we could. So it goes back to what you mentioned, just trusting your feelings is not a good, it's not good. Yeah, or you're just impulse. I don't even know if it's a feeling sometimes as much, just like an impulse reaction, like, oh, that's going to take time. Or
like that thought, it's like, wait a minute, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
All right, the next section is different. It's confession. It's like kind of the weeds that you are praying to just God to keep pulling them out of your life.
Mm-hmm. So I don't even know when it started. Just doubts, like, is God there? Where did God come from? And I think part of it is we've had several people who we thought were strong in the faith who's is no longer practicing their faith. One of Tim's sisters decided she was an atheist. And so just, I think that's where it started. And I don't even know that I feel that way anymore. Mm. I think it's just my brain is kind of crazy sometimes and kind of anxious, low level. And so I'll be, you know, feeling really good. And I'm like, this is, you know, and then all of a sudden my brain's like, but wait a minute. Remember, you had that doubt.
Yeah.
And I have to tell my brain, shut up.
Yeah.
Excuse me, children. Because, you know, my feelings, I've got to counteract my feelings with what's true. And that's not true. And I don't have to live in that space. I don't have to give Satan that space in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And sometimes I do a better job of it than others.
It was interesting to me that you mentioned something about maybe God has let this kind of fester to grow my faith. And I thought, okay, that's an interesting spin on it. Like maybe seeing it as a gift from God to kind of, I don't know what it'd be, maybe to wake you up or.
Yeah, I kind of equated it to like Paul
uh-huh.
having a thorn in his flesh. And I was telling somebody the other day, I pray for more faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, look, God gives faith. I pray for faith. And then it's like, I came to the conclusion, like, okay, God can grant me more faith. But what have I done to nurture the faith he's given me?
Hmm.
Yeah. It's like, what have I been doing? Like I told you, I had neglected my Bible study.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I had prayer hang-ups. So, like, what have I been doing to nurture the faith that God has given me and exercise that faith? So I'm trying.
That's a great attitude to take. I really appreciate it a lot because you're saying you don't have to accept something passively and say, I'm doubting God. It's like, actually, I'm an active participant here.
Yeah.
I don't have to just be passive and I can ask God to help me, for one, to grow me, and then also say, do I have some responsibility here to take?
Yeah.
Which I think we live in a culture that does not want to take any responsibility. Another thought would be that maybe, what if it's something also like this? God has grown to you. Like, he's always infinite and big, but maybe mm-hmm. even to yourself, that I think that there's like a book I read recently. Maybe it's the Gentle and Lowly book. I don't know, but just the awe of God. So almost you shrink back, and as the sense that you feel less maybe in control or things that you know about your faith as God grows to mm-hmm. you can also leave, I think, you with maybe a little sense of like, oh, I don't think I don't understand
this. So what's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something
and
here.
I don't like not understanding things, mm-hmm. and that's probably part of it. I like to understand everything, and if I could understand all of God, he wouldn't be God. So,
mm-hmm. so there's a sense that he's probably grown in honor and majesty to you, and you don't know always how to put words to those things. I don't know. That's kind of how I was thinking about it too. And it's so cool that you're saying, I'm responding to you, Lord. I'm praying. My husband and I are seeking you, you know, as one flesh. Like, we never are going to stop maturing. So it'd be foolish to say, I don't need to pursue you anymore, Lord.
Right.
Anyway, so Lisa, your harvest is here. What are answered prayers, God's faithfulness to you, everyday graces and or victories in your life?
Did I even write anything down?
Yes, you did.
Did I write something? I don't know. My family is an everyday blessing to me. Mm-hmm. My relationship with my spouse, I mean, he's my rock. I love him. And not that, you know, no marriage is perfect, but we are so different now than we were when we started out.
Mm.
I mean, it's been a long, long time. Yeah. And so, yeah, there's just an ease between us, which is really nice.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know what you could possibly say in a short couple of minutes, but could you just comment on that, like living a lifetime with somebody and not being the same, like growing together?
Yeah, well, and you know, it takes work. I know it sounds cliche, but everybody's like, you know, a marriage is just two people who are really good forgivers.
Mm.
But there's without forgiveness, a marriage doesn't work. And you can't grow. Like, if you don't make mistakes, you don't know, you know, I don't know. It's really hard to remember sometimes who I was without him.
Right.
Because I met him right before I turned 18. I started college early. I met him right before I turned 18, and we've been together ever since. Mm-hmm. So my entire adult life. So yeah, it's hard to. We literally grew up, you know, grew into adulthood together.
What's it like to be maturing with him? Because you even said you're starting a new rhythm of the Bible recap mm-hmm. together. Is that fun to be like, we're going to do this? We're still doing new stuff together? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we do new stuff. Like, we like to go do things and have adventures and things like that together. But we do have every day, you know, he goes to work and I do various things. I have different things I do every day of the week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we still have dinner together and, you know, do a reading. We usually do it after dinner. And, you know, we'll watch TV for a little while. I'll crochet. He'll read books or, you know, we just have everyday rhythms. And it's nice to be able to kind of know what he'd probably say about something, like as far as like, Lindsay wanted to have somebody over for dinner. She goes, well, I got to check with Ben first. And I was like, okay, that's fine. But we're fine. We can do that. And she's like, you're not going to ask that? I said, I know what he'll say. You know, it's okay. He won't care that I told you okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to know, you know each other at that level. Because mm-hmm. we were young, and we got married. And I know his sisters would say when we first got married, we fought all the time. And I don't remember fighting all the time. I remember a lot of back and forth, more of a, I don't know, but not really like to me fighting. We means you're angry with each other, and I don't recall a lot of anger.
Yeah,
but just you know, just an ease of everyday life, just comfortable, just kind of nice.
It's funny you say that. I was just at a friend's house today, and my kids were playing with other kids. One little girl came up from the basement. I said, "Hey, what are they doing down there?" Because I was gonna go check, but I wanted to hear ahead of time
what I was getting to do. A little first-hand experience.
And then she said, so-and-so is fighting, and so-and-so were fighting. And all the moms, like, looked at each other, and what that meant was two kids were having a conversation, a little debate about a subject, not a fight.
Yeah.
And then the other were playing with silks.
How old was this child you inquired of?
I know. It was just funny what people say. Fighting is, I don't know. So like whipping silks around and then having, you know, a conversation, like a focused conversation about a subject. But anyway, it was funny. Another thing you wrote here is, this is so beautiful. I have a place to belong, which is a big deal to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've always felt like the odd man out. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just feel like I belong here.
Well, I can't imagine cutting off any fingers and that being okay. So I can't imagine. I can't imagine Remnant without the Bynums. And now all of your family, like you, there was a point, how did they even get here? It's so incredible.
It really is a blessing. When we moved to Richmond, Ethan was in college and Lindsay and Ben got married right after we moved to Richmond. Mm-hmm. And Ben graduated and they moved to Texas. He got a job in Texas and they moved to Texas.
But no one was, like, coming to Richmond.
No, yeah. No. And then Ethan stuck around after he graduated because he had a girlfriend in the college town that they were in. Then they broke up and were like, just come home. Tim, he had a job before he even got here. Tim got him a job at Capital One. And he had a job before he even got here. He moved in with us. So, see, he lived upstairs. We still have Rachel living with us in the first floor.
Rachel Van Leer.
Yes, because mm-hmm. we've had various people living in our house. And
Caroline at one point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Lindsay had Delaney right after my dad died and after I moved mom in. Then they're like, you know, if we're going to have other kids, we'd like to kind of be close to family. And Ben, Tim, like, recommended him. He got an interview at Capital One and got a job there. And they moved here when Delaney was a year old. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, it's been really nice to, so nice. Not living in the same place with my the only grandbaby I had was hard. Like, you go visit. I took 2 months off when Delaney was born and stayed with Lindsay. She had a C-section, and I stayed with her for 2 months. And then leaving was just like, oh, my goodness, I'm leaving my heart, my little heart there. So it really is nice to have them here, and I get to see my grandkids every week.
Yeah. All right, and you wrote one more thing here, and if anything else comes to mind, shout it out. God has given me places to serve him. This is your harvest. And I see him stretching me in the places all the time. And I thought that was a pretty cool thing to write for harvest. I get to serve and I get to be stretched by God. That's my praise.
So I've been going to CBS since we were 5 years, I guess.
Are you saying CBS?
CBS.
Oh.
Not CBS.
I thought you said
Community
CBS.
Bible Study.
Okay.
And so I've
Can we pretend it's CBS? Sure. It's just funny.
I started teaching, and I was teaching like the preschool kids, the twos and threes. Easy gig. I'm used to twos and threes. I can do it with my eyes closed. And I took last year off because Tim's like, well, I want you to take a break. So then I went back this year, and she's like, where do you want me to put you? I'm like, wherever, whatever. I'm just going to just put me somewhere. So now I have the 8 and 9 year olds.
Ooh.
And they're a little challenging.
Yeah.
Very challenging. Sometimes the first 2 weeks, I have 12 boys and 6 girls. Wow. The first 2 weeks, the boys thought it was WrestleMania. And I had to be like, I know where your mother is. Mm-hmm. I will go get her if you do that again. But just teaching them, it's different. It's not, they do the same scriptures that we do.
Okay.
That the adults do. And so just trying to find ways to plan activities and discussions and things to like bring the scripture home to them, make it mean something to, you know, help it mean something to them is different than doing that when you're 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And I can sing little songs and, you know, that kind of sort of thing.
With your hairbrush.
Yeah. Then there's been a couple of times when I've led discussions at book club. It's like, nobody else is doing this. Somebody needs to do this. And all of it, nobody's like, no. It's like, okay, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know why I get so nervous about it. I literally taught classes every day at work.
Right.
Like, I did, like, all kinds of mental health class, daily living skill classes. That's what I did at work half the time. And so it's like, why am I, like, why should I be scared of this? Because these are people that I know and love and I should trust. You know? Yeah. So I've done that a few times. So, yeah. I'm trying to think of what else I'm serving. I've bumped up. I'm doing 5 and 6 year olds at church. So that's a whole nother. We've got new curriculum.
Ooh.
No longer the Jesus Storybook Bible.
Okay. Sweet. Well, thank you for all your service to our church and my family, so many families. And just being a servant of your own family, but just setting that example for other ladies to grow up into and follow your pattern. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, sometimes I force my service on my kids. Not always. I just like to go see my grandkids. So it's like, okay, I will come to your house every Tuesday and play with my grandchildren.
Yeah.
And you can go whatever.
Hey, that sounds great. All right, Lisa, that's it. We almost made it. One more torture thing for you to do is to share just maybe a more personal side to yourself. That's something that you brought from home. It could be, there's so many things it could be. Hopefully you brought something with you.
Okay, so I brought a quote from Timothy Keller. I like listening to Timothy Keller. It's like listening to your grandpa. As we talked about having doubts and stuff, and it just made me feel, and I know I do this, you don't talk about those things. Like, you're terrified to speak those things out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't talk about those things. I don't even think I talked about that with Tim. Like I said, I was nervous about letting him read, like, my stuff.
Right.
So this is a quote from Timothy Keller. And I thought it was comforting and reassuring. And I think it's important. So he says, a faith without some doubt is like a human body without any antibodies in it. People who blithely go through life too busy or indifferent to ask hard questions about why they believe will find themselves defenseless against either the experiences of tragedy or the probing questions of a smart skeptic. A person's faith can collapse almost overnight if she has failed over the years to listen patiently to her own doubts, which should only be discarded after long reflection. Believers should acknowledge and wrestle with doubts, not only their own, but their friends and their neighbors. It's no longer sufficient to hold beliefs just because you inherited them. Only if you struggle long and hard with objections to your faith will you be able to provide the grounds of your beliefs to skeptics, including yourself, that are plausible rather than ridiculous or offensive. And just as important for our current situation, such a process will lead you, even after you come to a position of strong faith, to respect and understand those who doubt.
Thanks, Lisa. Love you. Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in the local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for His glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and His faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the Master Gardener is always at work, so let's yield to Him and grow where we're planted.